You know how I've said in the past that my clients become friends? My next guest, Laura Healy, co-founder of Grace & Kin, is a prime example of just that. Having worked together on various campaigns over the years, our friendship has flourished, and she's become someone I tend to lean on for support both personally and professionally. Like me, she too dropped out of uni and listened to her intuition to guide the way. When I moved to the UK over a decade ago, Laura was the first local female founder that I admired from afar. It's true. I remember being in total awe at how young she was, having set up a successful shopfront and e-commerce business, and how she collaborated with local influencers, makers, and businesses to create a real buzz and hype around her first business. Honestly, Laura was kind of doing it all before it was a thing or the norm. It was super inspiring, and in my eyes, she's a true pioneer. From starting a jewelry business on the side of her already successful clothing business, Laura managed to scale Grace & Kin during the COVID lockdowns to something she never expected. Within 2 years, her jewelry sales were overtaking the sales of her first business, and Grace & Kin was being featured in articles by The Telegraph, and she was collaborating with brands that we all know and love. She made the bold decision to focus all of her efforts on Grace & Kin, and the rest, as they say, is history. One of the many things I adore about Laura is that she knows exactly who she is and what she wants, and she doesn't jump on quick trends to gain a quick buck. She's patient, she's true to herself, and she trusts her gut and the process, no matter how many detours there may be along the way. In this conversation, Laura shares some of the greatest lessons she's learned since embarking on her journey as a female founder, and she offers great advice to those aspiring to follow a similar path. You know the drill, guys. Let's dive right in. Laura, this is so exciting to have you here. I've wanted to have you on the show for a while, but I've taken a little bit of a hiatus. I've been kind of just like, when I feel inspired, when I feel ready to go, that's when I will do this. And here you are. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, I wanted to kind of dive in and talk about where your background came from. I know I spoke about it a little bit in the intro, but like, how did you get to here? Like, what did you take? What did you study? Like, what's your background?
Oh, God. I think really we have to go back to university.
Yes.
I think that was the start for me. So I actually... I kind of dropped out of uni twice.
Me too. See? I dropped out of uni too.
That's good. It's not just me.
Yeah, no.
It's, I think it's really weird. I think at that age, you want to do everything.
Yeah.
And then I went off to do graphic design.
Oh, really?
And I loved it. And I loved the people there. But I did a year of that. And then for some reason, I just... had it in my head that if I was going to do a degree, it needed to be more businessy because that would help me further down the line. And I couldn't have something so creative because what would I do with it? And just had this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then that was it. So I changed over to marketing.
Okay.
And then did a year of that and was like, oh, I really miss the creativity.
I am not a marketeer.
Yeah. And I think also it made me realize that I am that person that needs to be in it and doing it rather than reading marketing from a textbook. I was like, well, I want to go and do that to see if that works.
I want to roll up my sleeves and get the experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after that, for some reason, I still thought I needed a degree and then
at least you went back to uni. Actually, yeah. I did too eventually, but yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, eventually, but sorry, go on.
Then finally changed over to fashion marketing, which is what I then graduated in.
Okay.
So that was great for me because it was a 50-50. So there was like 50% creativity, 50% was business. And also I was at the point where I was fully aware that I was spending a lot of time, money, and, well, racking up a lovely debt, that I needed to get a degree in something.
Yeah.
But I am actually really pleased that I did that because if anything with uni... I felt like I was wasting a lot of time at one point. Mm. But what I think uni did do is give
and
me...
And you were probably so young.
I know, this like, is the thing. I look
back
then. Yeah, it's like 18, 19.
My life.
I know. And I'm like, oh, well, now I'm 20 and I haven't had a degree yet.
Yeah.
But I think uni did give you that confidence. I think the confidence is something that I would have only got from uni, and I'm not sure I would have got that if I'd gone straight into a work environment.
Yeah.
I think I know me, and I think I would have not struggled, but I think coming out of uni, I felt very like, yeah, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Like I was going to go on Dragon's Den. I was like, yeah.
Oh my God. And there's still time.
Yes. Yeah, no, I would never do that now.
I love this. Do you know what you were going to go on Dragon's Den for?
I think I was going to do my business idea, which was about this pop-up in retail. It wasn't really much of an idea, to be honest, but I was like, yeah, I could definitely get an investment.
No Bring it worries. On, Dragons.
Yeah, 23. Yeah, give me that.
Hey, that's what I think that is actually the powerful thing about youth is that you're fearless. You know, you're fearless and you don't have a lot of things like a mortgage and all the other things that us now we have as to lose, right?
Exactly. And I think it is the naivety.
100%.
Which actually is a real strength at that age, because I don't think you're as bothered about risk. I don't even think risk is something you really think about.
No.
And again, once I graduated, I was doing like a part-time job and I alongside it towards the end. And as soon as I graduated, I got made redundant. But again, I think you're just in that place in your life where you're kind of like, oh, well, I'm at the start of my career.
Yeah.
I've got so many options. Like, it doesn't matter. I've got time.
Yeah.
I think naivety actually is a real strength when you're younger.
I couldn't agree with you more. Because you're fearless. You have no idea. Pardon me. You have no idea. Like, the risk is so low, like you said, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then is that kind of like you came right out of uni? And then did you just go, oh, I want to open a shop?
Like, I wanted to, kind of.
Yeah.
So I was, made redundant. And then I just thought, right, I'm either going to London because I really wanted to be in the magazine industry. Oh. That's what I really loved. I was going to, I did apply for internships. I was going to be an intern. I was going to work my way up and figure it out along the way.
Yeah.
Or I was going to set up my own store because I had the business plan from uni. And again, didn't have any responsibilities. You know, I didn't have a mortgage, like you said.
Yep.
So I just felt like, what's the worst case scenario if I did set up this store? If it didn't work in 5 months or a year's time, I'd go get a job, which is what I was at the start of doing anyway. I was at the start of my career. I'd only just come out of being a student after 5 years.
So for those of you who don't know, Laura actually had a clothing store. Okay. So, and that was in a small town in Leinster, but it wasn't just the bricks and mortar that you had. You actually did online shopping as well.
Yes.
Online sales. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. E-commerce.
E-commerce. There we go. There's the marketer in you. There's the marketer in you.
Yeah, so we opened in, I don't even know now, 2013.
Okay.
I think. And and we're very much learning as we went.
Yes.
Again, we had the business plan. We were open within the 3 months. But my business partner, my brother Paul, he was really good. He's really good at like numbers and he's always been interested in business. I don't think his ideal business was to set up a women's wear clothing store, but we together made it work. But I remember the first day we opened, I didn't sell a thing, not one thing. We had people through the door. We had loads of conversations. And I remember crying in the back stock room, being like, oh my dear God, this is the worst decision I've ever made in my life. And I think it was at that point where that really popped my student bubble and that naivety kind of thing we were talking about earlier, because it's when everything became very, very real.
Yeah.
And that this was a business and this was something that, you know, you feel like you're wearing your heart on your sleeve a little bit.
Oh my
you
God.
Feel quite exposed.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was ready for that. But fast forward 10 years, we made it work. And the store was always successful for us. And it was something that I'm always really grateful for, even though that is not actually what we do now.
Yeah.
And it's not something I'd ever go back to. I would never go back to having, with Grace and Kin, possibly, but like I would never be in a rush to go back to retail.
Okay.
But for us, it was almost like doing your master's, but doing it for longer. Yeah. And it was almost like the internship that we needed for business. And I feel like it took a long time to get where we wanted to get to. But at the same time, we were learning as we went.
Yeah.
And it's not something I regret doing at all. It was, I've learned almost everything that I know now because of what we did at the store.
Yeah. And so with Grace and Kin, how did that even, like, where did that come from? Because you were selling jewelry to begin with, and then you decide, like, tell us how it happened. What sparked it?
So COVID.
Yes.
Actually.
God love it.
Was, I know, and I think for a lot of businesses, obviously gave you time to reevaluate a lot of things.
Yeah.
So COVID was probably actually the real pivotal point.
Yeah.
But what had happened before that is, like you were saying, we had the store and we always had a website for Noted, because we always wanted something to do with e-commerce. It was something Paul was really interested in, and also myself. But we, in 2019, we started working with the lovely Sophie Jackson.
Gorgeous.
I know, she's amazing. And because we very much found that we had a clothing customer and we had a jewelry customer, and we wanted to build on our jewelry customer. So we started working with Sophie to completely rebrand it with its own identity.
Right.
And take it online. And instead of having it all on Noted store online.
Yeah.
So we wanted to like split the two. And with clothing, there come so many obstacles because of size, cut, fit, texture,
trends.
Like, exactly. You with the fashion industry, you're reinventing yourself every like 3 months. Mm-hmm. There's so many seasons. It's so competitive. I mean, so is jewelry, but it's a real beast in itself online.
Yeah.
And we almost just wanted to see what we had learned with clothing online and see if we could put those skills to the jewelry and see if that concept would work.
Yeah.
So we started working with Sophie, and we were planning on launching in the summer 2020. Obviously COVID happened, so we ended up launching it in the spring of 2020, because we had, obviously the store had to close. But we had the stock for the jewelry because it was in the store.
Right.
So we very much kind of not pieced it together. The branding was spot on and that was all polished, but almost like threw it together a little bit just to be like, well, let's get something online because we need to still be running
this business.
A business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
While the other one was, you know, like the whole of the world, nobody really knew what was going on
and how long it was going to last for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with Grace and Kin, this was like obviously a little side hustle to begin with.
Yeah.
Did you think it would grow as fast as it did, or that you were going to be at a point in a couple of years time to be like, oh, let's close our shop and just focus primarily on Grace and Kin?
No, never. It was really weird. I think I don't know if Paul pushed it more than me, but it was definitely a joint decision. But I think I was kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, we should give it a go. Didn't really think too much about it.
Yeah.
We closed the shop then a year, 2 years later.
Yeah.
And yeah, we went full time over to Grace and Kin in the very start of 2023. But already in 2022, it was the bigger side of our business than the store.
Which you did not anticipate. That was not the plan.
No.
But was it still scary taking that leap, like saying goodbye to something that you've been doing for a decade to then?
Yes and no. It's weirdly, I think, and I think this is what surprised Paul. I think Paul thought I was going to be more attached to the store because it was kind of my baby and what I had done from uni and built up. And I think he thought, oh, she might really struggle with the change and transitioning.
Yeah.
But I think you just know what's right for the business.
Yeah.
And I think timing wise and everything, it was just the obvious path to go down. And it was getting so demanding. And I think we were just felt like we were juggling so many plates.
Yeah.
That it would have just been so nice to focus on
one thing.
And also, it was just the potential. We had a few things happen with Grace and Kin where I think it just really showed, yeah, the potential you can get with e-commerce. I think a lot of people think it's easier because, you know, right now we could set up a website. There's so many amazing tools out there. There's so many amazing apps.
I just had a funny thing pop into my head talking about, and I'm going to share this story. I remember we were away once. Laura and I are really good friends. And I remember you were like in the shower, you came out and you were like, oh my gosh, I've had a really good day today talking about e-commerce. I'm like, isn't it great? You could be cleaning your fanny and making money at the same time. But it's true.
It's 24/7. And honestly, from being in retail and you have to do that, you've got to be there and the shop's got to be open to literally having a nice shower.
Exactly.
And you're making money.
But it's like, obviously it comes with risk and there's obviously been its challenges. And I'm sure there's been times where you just put your head against a wall thinking like, what have we done? Or, you know, production or I don't know, because I don't understand the whole process. But what would you say is the biggest challenge that you've faced since setting Grease and Kin?
I think with any business, you're constantly putting out fires.
Yeah.
I think you're constantly problem solving all the time. And I think you almost don't ever take the time to appreciate the really good things.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest challenge is, you're constantly having to change and, put out those fires and be like, right, okay, I wasn't expecting that. How do we do that? And then even with positive, so even with growth, you have to learn new skill sets. So we're now with like a fulfillment center, like we've never dealt with that before. We're dealing with different manufacturers. Also, me and Paul are not jewelry designers.
Yeah.
And we're not claiming to be.
Yeah.
But terminology, you know, there's so many things that we, even though we always dealt with jewelry, you know, then suddenly when you're getting something made, there's so much terminology where you're like, oh no, not this. Okay. I didn't realize that word meant this. And it's learning constantly all these things.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I think being a founder or being self-employed or, you know, whatever you want to call it, I think almost that's what you thrive off.
100%.
That's what
because you're growing
love.
And you're learning every step of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that since you've embarked on this in like the last couple of years, because how old is Grace and Kin?
Well, Grace and Kin was set up in the 2020, but we didn't even advertise until 2021
right.
online. So everything with Grace and Kin was organic that first COVID year.
Yeah.
And also I think for 2020, a lot of our sales, we got known because of having the store.
Yeah.
So I think from social media and stuff, we kind of like not pushed it onto it, but people were made aware of it quite quickly.
Yeah.
Because we had like 10 years worth of
knowledge and everything else behind you.
So that was kind of 2020. So I guess officially 2020, but then there's a part of me that's like, I don't think we took it seriously, but I think things really started getting going when we started, you know, implementing the advertising and spending money and time on Google and Meta and, you know.
How did you know it was time to scale? Like, how did you know that you're like, hey, were you like just bursting at the seams with like the packaging orders? Like, or is it the leap that you have to take because you know that in order to be able to grow, you have to take like, what comes first?
Really good question. I think it's a bit of a combination. So there is a part of it where you have to make that investment in product to be like, well, if we're going to spend this on advertising to gain this amount of sales, we need this amount of product to produce those amount of sales. So you have to have a little bit of trust in the process and in both.
Yeah.
So you, I think for us, it was, I think one, one point, turning point for us was we very randomly got put in an article for the Telegraph. And we didn't know we were involved in this, but we were put down as like the second best letterbox friendly gift set.
Oh, so
this
really?
Because again, this was 2020.
Yeah.
Towards the end, this was nearing Christmas, I think. And, but then that article started trending on Apple News. And then that's when like things kind of exploded, like traffic, yeah. Everything. And I think that was when we were like, right, this has such a big potential. But then from that, we've had to obviously,
yeah,
you know, work things out along the way and, yeah. Be, I don't know what the word would be, but you've constantly got to be evolving.
Yeah.
And,
open to ideas and,
yeah. And again, and change and everything. Yeah. But we were very much, I think with Grace and Kin, we were very much gunning after growth. So everything in our plan was to scale.
Yeah. And it still is.
And it still is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously the jewelry market is such a saturated market. If you go online, I mean, there's all kinds of amazing brands out there.
Yeah.
Was that ever a deterrent for you, or are you ever, does that ever scare you? Or are you just like, well, this is what sets us apart? Like,
yeah, no, I think it is. I think coming from retail, I'm so used to being in a really competitive market. Mm-hmm. So I think with the jewelry, it never phased us.
Yeah.
Sorry. And yeah, I think we are now at the point where we're kind of making a bit of a niche for ourselves within that market, yeah, with our waterproof gold plating. We're really like sharpening,
yes,
like our product and our focus, because we've had different collections along the way. Again, real big learning process. Like nothing I feel like we've ever done, we've been like, here it is, like there's the product and it's amazing and now it sells. Like there's with the store and with the online with Grace and Kin, we've learned so much.
Yeah.
And things are constantly changing. So I think it's just focusing on that. And then I think without giving like not too much away, but we're building on like our platings and different manufacturers and stuff, and I think we've got some really exciting things to, yeah, come. So
I'm excited.
I know.
Because are you also thinking you want to do, was it, I don't know the terminology, is it fine jewelry or is it
demi-fine?
That's,
yeah,
it.
So right. It's that demi-fine waterproof jewelry. Definitely still specializing in the gold. We always get people asking about silver.
I was going to ask that question because I've had people say to me, oh, is she going to do silver?
Yeah, I think 100%.
Yeah.
We will at one point. It will not be this year.
Yeah.
It might be 2025.
Yeah.
And if we do it, it'll be 925 sterling silver.
Yeah.
So again, it can go in the same category as you can put it on, you can shower in it, and you just don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So we want it. Yeah. I think we will.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not the focus at the moment, but
that's,
we will.
Something I've always really admired about you, Laura, is that you don't just jump on trends or do things because that's what happens to be all over TikTok or that's what everyone else is doing. Is you've always been very finite and very like specific about what you want to do. And it's not about how much you guys have, like in terms of the product range, it's just doing it and doing it really bloody well. Mm. And that sticks out because like I'm wearing these and I've worn, yeah. Like I think I spent so much time last year in the med. I wore my gold, waterproof.
Yeah, they're the waterproof. 18
and
carat.
They haven't ruined. I've been in salt water in and out and yeah. It's just like they are, it is what it says on the package. And you can tell that you've put a lot of time, energy, and I'm sure there's been setbacks and there's been times where you have like.
Again, yeah. Learning process. Yeah. We've definitely learned, you know, just things are flagged up and we're like, oh, okay, that doesn't work, but this does.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I think like we really want to, we want that growth, mm-hmm. but we will never like compromise on our customer service or the quality of our product to get there. If you know what I mean? Like, yeah. As long as those are always in line, so I suppose it's all quite like organic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like again, a younger me
yeah.
has learned I think I took so many things to heart and personally like would be like, oh, well, that person said that, so like no longer can we do that because that would, you know, that wouldn't work, da, da, da. But then over time I've been able to, and if anybody is thinking of starting something up, like really trust your gut, because you do, even with the store, I wouldn't say the store was even how I envisaged it until like the last 5 years, because for so many years I was like, oh, well, I like that, but maybe somebody else wouldn't, and da, 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 and yeah, all these things. Whereas actually, if you just stay true to yourself and you follow your gut,
yeah,
usually that is right. And now I'm very much like, if that's not Grace and Kin, if that doesn't fit into the Grace and Kin box, then no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not needed right now, or it's not where we need to be. Like, it's great other people are or providing that, but for Grace and Kin, it's this.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's not an easy decision sometimes to make when you know, what would you say is the biggest skill set that you've had to learn since starting Grace and Kin?
Oh,
there can be multiple.
Yeah, there's so much. I think skill set, I think it's to be patient.
Hmm.
I think, and yeah, it's not really a skill set, but I think it is that, like, not taking things to heart too much.
Yeah.
Because I think, again, when it's your business, I think you do feel it so exposed, like we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
And you feel constantly judged, and you can really dwell on something negative or something that you didn't think was going to happen.
Yeah.
But actually, you need to be patient, enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And I think that skill set of you also need to be flexible.
Yeah.
Because there's
It's not going to go to plan.
And it's not going to go to plan.
It's not going to go to plan.
And then, you know, I'm not great with change. Mm. So I need time to really think about it and dwell on it. But you just need to be a bit more open-minded, I think.
Yeah.
And actually see it might feel a bit scary because, again, it's another unknown, or it, you know, as you grow.
Yeah.
You're pushed into different situations and you're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not even a jewelry designer. Like, no. You know, but get there.
I think too, like, people from the outside looking in think Grace and Kin is, I mean, it is obviously, it's successful. It's doing very well, but people don't realize that it's just two people running the ship, driving the ship. Yeah. And that, you know, you're up until very recently, we're packaging, doing all of the handwritten letter messages. Mm-hmm. You still are on all the emails, like you're doing all the sourcing, all the buying, all the design, all of that stuff. And it's a lot. Yeah. And marketing. And, you know, like you have so many hats to wear, and it's that in itself, in terms of all the skills and the things that you're learning along the way, I feel like you wouldn't, if you were to see on a piece of paper, you're going to need to know all of these things.
Yeah. If that was like a job criteria thing, you'd be like, I'm
not capable, or I don't have those skill sets. But when you dive in and you're thrown into the deep end, you have no choice but to just be like, okay, buckle up, here we go.
Yeah.
Right. And that must be like, I'm sure there's things that you absolutely realized you love so much. There's things that you're like, Paul, that's for you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I think I'm so grateful that there is two of us.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who have businesses and that they're fully on their own, and it can be so isolating. I've always been lucky that there's been the two of us, but my word, there are so many aspects where I'm so grateful that honestly there is parts of the business that I do not even look at, and that is Paul's department.
Yeah.
And I fully trust him with that. But yeah, you just feel like you're always juggling like a million different plates and not doing any of it very well.
Yeah.
But I think you really are that swan. Loads of people say it, but you feel like, oh yeah, like it's fine and everything's
nice. Graceful up top and you're just
underneath. You are,
paddling like hell
for your life.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, too, like one of the other things that I wanted to bring up is you've had quite a lot of amazing collaborations that, like, since creating Grace and Kin. How did you land them? Like, is it just, were you just plucked up the courage and just asked? Like, or do they find you? Like, for people listening, I think that it can be, because you've worked with Hicks and Brown. You've worked with, is it Charlie London?
Charlie London. We did Pretty Lavish Bridal not long ago. There's been some really great collaborations. It's been a mixture. Some of them we've gone after. And then others have then actually, like the one I was really chuffed, but with Pretty Lavish Bridal, they actually got hold of us.
Amazing.
And I just think, again, there are so many jewelry brands out there, but for all of their bridal photos, they're all wearing Grace and Kin jewelry.
That's awesome.
And then, we did a giveaway with them. And I think that is the really exciting thing with e-commerce, I think, is there's so many opportunities, whereas having a retail space, you are a little bit limited to that area and people are only going to travel so far to get to you and all of those things. There's positives and negatives to like any business or any job. But I think with e-commerce, I think what is lovely, and with social media,
100%,
is you can just reach so many people that you never thought you could reach and so quickly.
And you just never, and I've said this before on other podcasts, you just never know who's watching.
Like, 100%.
So many collaborations that I have had.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did they find me? And then they'll say, oh, I follow you on Instagram. I'm like, no, you don't. But it's like their personal accounts that they're following you from. So that's why I always say to anyone listening, it's like, you don't know who's following. Throw it out there. Put out what you want. Like, what are your dreams that you want to be capturing or doing or working with, or who are those dream clients? Because they could be watching you.
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
Like you said, with social media, it's you can access pretty much anything and anyone.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think there is that thing of, like, I know with us, I'm like, oh, but we've got, you know, we need to wait until the new packaging's launched, and and then there's this, and you're always thinking of almost like, oh no, not yet, because it's not perfect. But it is perfect. And you just never, ever know who's watching, who's looking. And I think you always think, but we're only really small. Like we're not a national brand yet. So da, 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 da. But
everyone started somewhere.
Exactly. And also it is unbelievable. Like, some people are like, oh, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And, you know, I'm so glad I found you. And they prefer it because you are a small business. And
yeah.
There's just so many opportunities out there now.
Absolutely.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a monster to.
Yeah. It can be daunting, can't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think used in the right way, it is amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that you can like sit in your home office or in the shower and, you know, you could be making money, but also like creating a brand or a business from wherever.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if we were to go back to our younger selves and in high school or something, and if someone were to say, oh, you're going to have a business that you're going to be able to work from a thing called a laptop. And I don't even, like, we had laptops back then.
Yeah, just about. We're not that old.
Well, I don't know. I didn't have a laptop in my house. I had a Mac book or not a Mac. But you know, and you're going to be able to work from your phone even.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things I do even now are on my phone. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty amazing. And I think when everything you're developing too, how much, actually, here's a question for you. How much of your conversion is coming through people's phones? Is it?
Oh, like it's, I think the breakdown is like, honestly, 98% is all viewed on phone.
Yeah.
And that 2% is on a laptop.
Yeah.
Which is mad. And it's when we're sending out emails and everything. And then because I'm on my laptop, I'm always looking at it that way. And then I'm always like, oh my God, no, like I need to view it the mobile
the way people way are actually because, gonna be seeing it.
This is how people are seeing it.
I got a question for you. Ooh. If you were to look back, or if you were to say something to your younger self, because you are a female founder, mm-hmm. and you are entrepreneurial, what would you say to Laura who was just starting out?
Ooh, I would say
to the girl in uni, you know, like the girl in uni who's like, you've just dropped out. the first time. And you don't know really
chopped
who...
out the second time.
And then the second time. Yeah. But you know, and what would you say to that girl who's like maybe a little lost or maybe is just like, I don't know what my thing is and where, like, is this ever going to work out? What would you say to her?
I would say, I've touched on it earlier, but I would say be patient. I think there is so many businesses that maybe don't go the distance or maybe don't even start. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I think you, at that early stage, you have so much energy and you have so much drive because you fully believe in your business, product, whatever it is that you really want to set up.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people will get so far and then be like, oh, well, I'm not at this stage. I thought I'd be here now. Like I thought I'd be retiring now and it hasn't worked or whatever. But I think you've got to trust that process and you've got to be patient because everything that I've learned and some of the best skills that I have learned over time and doing it.
Experience.
And not reading about it, just doing it. And I know it's different for everybody, but I think I would say to my younger self, be patient and it will.
Just trust the process.
Yeah.
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 And then my last question for you, and I know you kind of said, I don't want to give too much away, but what is coming for Grace and Kin? What's around the corner?
Ooh, a baby.
Oh yeah. Congratulations. Very soon.
Very soon. But for Grace and Kin, I mean, end ultimate goal is I really want us to be a well-known national brand.
Yep.
I mean, end goal would be multinational.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think to come, we have got quite a few things in the pipeline. I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
But this is a journey. I'm still very much on this journey.
Yeah.
I'm no expert. Like there's still so many goals, aspirations that I want for Grace and Kin. We haven't got there yet, but we will.
Yeah.
But I think what I want for Grace and Kin is to build our community and to share that journey with our collections, with our process, with our business journey. So I think, it's really exciting. I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
Even though there's been changes in the industry. But I feel like I'm being really boring because I'm not saying what's coming up. But there are things coming up.
Just get a gatekeep over here.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting that you've got some things coming up and I'm sure things are going to change once the little one arrives as well.
Yes.
But it's amazing that you've already established a business that is ticking as well, right?
Yeah.
That you can, and also you can juggle, you can wear many hats you already have. And it'll be interesting to see where your journey as a mother and how that also maybe, I don't know, how it influences Grace and Kin. Because I feel like you don't know till you know.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know?
So this is the thing. I think there is a lot of change coming.
Yeah.
Super proud of, because I don't, like we discussed earlier, I don't think you actually really appreciate the achievements, the good, positive achievements really ever. You just don't have time to.
Yeah.
I am really, really proud of what we've created with Grace and Kin, and I'm just super excited to build on that. And we know we're sharpening. We're in that sharpening stage where we're just taking that, our brand, to another level.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited. And we'll have to do another one of these episodes once the little babe's here.
100%.
And we'll show people what it looks like.
Juggling
motherhood. Juggling it all. Awesome. Well, thanks for being a guest. And thanks for being so flexible with all of the deliveries that came throughout this process.
Yep.
Malfunctions that happened with the microphones. The camera's shutting off halfway through. So, this is, again, I think I love just being being so transparent about everything that we do, I do, you do.
Yeah.
And I want people to understand that, you know what, if I don't know what the fuck I'm doing,
it does not ever run
smoothly.
I don't
know what the fuck I'm doing. So I'm just guessing, and I hope that you like what we do. Okay. So anyways, thank you so much for coming. And yeah, I can't wait to see what's coming. I'm your biggest fan. You know this. And I can't wait to work together soon in the future because we have something exciting.
Oh, we have very exciting coming up. That's killing me that we still have to wait
for
that.
I know.
So
I know.
This is what I mean, being really like vague. Yes. But we've got so many amazing things in the pipeline.
We do.
Yeah. Our little collab. Okay. Coming soon too.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you. Have a good day. Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
It'll be good. Flourish with Trish is an original podcast hosted by me, Trish. It's produced by my father, Richard Johnson, in his home studio in Ontario, Canada. And the music was composed by my incredibly talented brother, Mike Johnson. This truly is a family affair.